I believe that. This morning I want to minister an unusual style of message, but I want you to listen because I feel it's the heartbeat of God. Luke, the first chapter, is where I'm going to start, and I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John,'" name him John, "'and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" Now, we know this is speaking of John the Baptist. And Luke 1, just as a side note of interest here, has more verses than any other chapter in the entire New Testament. And so when you go way down in Luke 1, verse 80, it says, "So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "My name is Grace." Let me tell you why I've said that. Names mean something, especially in the Word of God. John is the masculine derivative. Hannah would be the feminine derivative. They're the etymology of the same word or same name. Both names mean Yahweh is gracious. Both names, the Lord name said, "Name the child Grace." Name him John, name him Grace. John the Baptist would be the forerunner to Jesus. So let's break that down so you can understand where I'm going to go today. Grace is the forerunner to the kingdom. God starts by birthing something. He's going to introduce, we're going to come out of the old covenant and into the New Testament. Christ is coming. And he's going to introduce something before Christ gets here, something called grace. Grace is the ability to do or be something that you could not do or be without God. For example, you can't get yourself saved. It's by grace you're saved. So grace is that gift, that ability to do that. When grace is birthed and you really start to understand what the grace of God that's in you, it will cause you to have a praise. And the people will rejoice and the people will be glad. Now, sometimes it's easy to praise God because things are going really good. Other times it's what we call a sacrifice of praise because things aren't going so well. It's a little tougher. Either way, it works for all of us that are Christians, because if it's an easy praise, there's a reward. But if it's a tough praise that should have been an easy praise, it brings a reward because now it's a sacrifice of praise. It gives me something to lay on the altar. And so it's one thing to praise God, what I'm trying to say here, when you really feel good. You got the goosebumps, you're in the presence like we had this morning. It's easy to praise God in that. But sometimes you just don't feel a praise. Sometimes it's really tough and it's not convenient. It's just not there. If you've walked with God for a while, you've experienced both. Is that right? If you talk to me and say amen a lot, you get out sooner. The best way I've learned over the years as a Christian to come through a battle, and when you're fighting the devil, is to not look like you're in a battle. Don't act like you're going through hell. Just go through it. Get on the other side. And that's one of the beautiful things about praise, because praise confuses the enemy. He doesn't know where you're at because you're praising in good times and in bad times. He doesn't know if he's having any effect on you because there's a praise coming out of you. If you've had a great week or a bad week, you ought to praise God. Is that right? Let's give God a praise right now. Let's give him a little praise right now. It confuses the devil. He doesn't know what to do with you when you praise God. Now, our story teaches us that God is not intimidated by barrenness. The Bible says that Elizabeth had been barren for many years. Zacharias, her husband, was the priest. And he teaches me that sometimes you have to do right even when there's an absence of glory. Because the time that he was the priest was during a dark period of time. And there was no glory. He didn't feel like it. When he went to the temple, there was no glory there. But he lit the candles anyway. When he went to the temple, there was nobody praising in the temple, but he stayed on his assignment anyway. He did what was right when it didn't feel like it was right. Somebody say hallelujah. Zacharias, his name means God has remembered. And he's married to Elizabeth. Her name means an oath. So Zacharias remembered that God married him to a promise. God married him to a promise. You cannot enter into maturity until you remember the promises that God has made to you. Good times or bad, God's made some promises. And you've got to learn how to enter into those with a praise, good times or bad. And you have to learn how to do right in the good times and the bad times. You got to learn that you're on an assignment. And if nobody else will praise him, you will. And if nobody else will do right, you will. You'll show up because you've got a promise from God that God made an oath with you, and you're going to do it. Now the angel comes and says, fear not. You're getting really ready, really close here to giving birth to something. And when you give birth to this thing, I want you to name this child Grace. Now we need to understand this word grace, because I don't want you to misappropriate it. And I don't want you to make something that it's not. And it's, in our culture today, we've got grace kind of messed up here. So let me kind of just clear the air a little bit. Grace is not God tolerating your mess. Grace is not God looking the other way. Grace that doesn't lead to purity is not grace. Grace is not passive. It's not opinionless. It's not passionless. It's not a standby and whatever will be attitude by God. God's not just saying, oh, well, whatever it will be. That's not grace. Grace is a violent, aggressive demonstration and commitment by God to bring you out of darkness and into light. Grace is the power of God in operation. Grace is not saying, I know you're having a lot of trouble and I love you anyway. Yes, God loves you, and yes, God loves you even when you're having trouble. But grace is God saying, I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you in that mess. But I'm going to come, I'm going to roll up my sleeves, I'm coming in after you. Somebody say hallelujah. God is committed to you. God is committed to your family to reach into your mess. And at the end of the day, when you get all said and done, you will not be able to say you did it yourself. You'll have to say, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I made it through that one. By the grace of God, I was able to raise those kids. Somebody said amen. I know we give God a praise when he helps us and protects us from our enemy. But sometimes you have to learn how to give God a praise for protecting yourself from yourself. I didn't even need the devil to get myself in trouble. I was messing it all up by myself. And God said, you know what? The name is Grace. I'm going in after Ray Ray. After Melody. After, everybody knows he's still after Jerry. I'm just teasing. Grace. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Say that with me. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Grace is not equal to sin. Grace is much more. The message from God is the power of God is coming after his people. Not because they deserve it, but because he loves them and they're in such a mess they don't even know where they're at. He says, I'm coming in after them. Grace is David reaching into the lion's mouth and pulling the lamb out. Grace is the words on the inside of Moses that said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Grace is not God passively looking and saying the other way, saying, well, I know they're making mistakes, but I love them anyway. That's not grace. Grace is the spirit of God that says, yeah, I see them making a mistake, and I'm coming after them right now. And God will come after you. Grace is the power of God in operation. Grace is God saying, I'll come down from the thrones of heaven and I'll get right in the dirt with you. I'll leave this place and I'll take on a body of dirt just like you have. And I'll go to hell for you and I will take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave for you. And I will become mighty and victorious for you because I love you. Grace says, I'll come to a territory and shake the whole place because I'm coming after them. This is what I came to tell you. right here in our region, right here in our territory, where everything seemed so pretty, we started having some pretty bad things happen. And we discovered that people will shoot people in this area. And we discovered there's some sin that abounds here. And we discovered there's some families around here that are struggling. And we've discovered there's a lot of poverty and lack in this area. But I'm telling you that God is speaking to us today and to this church today. I'm getting ready to give birth to a violent operation of the love of God. And I'm getting ready to bring light into the darkness. And I will bring them out, and I'll bring you out in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Can you put a yes in your mouth? Now the Bible says that the angel came in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. June is the sixth month. And a word came to Zacharias, and the Bible says he's a man who remembered the oath and the promise of God. And he understood that in just a few short months, that God's power was going to manifest into this barren womb. And this womb was going to produce something, and it was going to manifest. In 3 months, they were going to give birth to grace. Then the same angel, Gabriel, got up and however he got there. That angel went to a little virgin by the name of Mary. And he tells Mary, you're getting ready to have a baby. So John, grace, was for the purpose of preparing a way for what was coming behind him. John's message is, you'll have to turn around because there's someone that's greater than me that's coming after me, and you need to get ready. John's message is to get prepared, and I've come today to tell you God is trying to prepare this church for what's coming. Amen. God is trying to prepare you by grace because God wants to shake this entire region. God wants to set up something we've never seen before right here in this region. I'm not talking about some phony, lightweight thing. I'm talking about an aggressive operation of God where God moves. You cannot have revival in any area with a Gomer Pyle, Barney Fife, beige mentality. It doesn't happen. You can't be mellow and teach your way into it. Somewhere you got to stand up, go into the wilderness and stand there against every army that's there, and you have to prepare a people for what God's doing. Amen. You're not amen and good enough yet. Sound like I'm at a Presbyterian church somewhere. No. Old Presbyterian saint over there. Amen. You have to come and prepare people to put their feet down. They'll stand up in the face of every kind, whether it's a good day or a bad day, they will make his name glorious. They will roar like a lion. They will blow a trumpet in Zion. They will stand up. They will not bow down. They'll stand up and say, grace, the violent operation of God. I'm not giving my children to the devil. I'm not giving my city to the devil. I'm not going to let the devil run through the church and create disunity. I'm not going to be part of an offense system, but I'm going to rise up by grace and see Jesus move in lives. I'm going to establish the kingdom of God in my home, in my church, in my city, in my work, in my region. I'm going to stand up and believe God. And the challenge that we have is to, first of all, revive the church. Grace has to prepare the church to usher in the kingdom of God. John only is going to have a little bit of time. He's only going to have a 3-month head start on Christ. His message in that 3 months has to be prepare the way. His job is to make ready a people. In other words, God's going to put a strength upon him, a strength upon grace, a strength upon dominion to prepare a people for what kingdom is getting ready to do. Through grace, we release the aggressive love of God. Through grace, we make ready a people for what's coming. I believe there is a tremendous power of the kingdom getting ready to hit this house. And by grace, we prepare. John is an interesting fellow. He was born between two covenants. On one side, he was born in the old covenant out of Malachi. He carries the law and the Old Testament in this hand. And then on the other hand, he holds Matthew, Jesus, and the kingdom in the other hand. He was literally born under the old covenant, but in his mother's womb, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, the new covenant. And so now he becomes a bridge between the old and the new. And I believe God's grace is going to cause us to become a bridge. Amen. Grace was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I'm privileged to get to minister in many different environments, many different churches. But one of the things I'm really tired about is going to what's called a spirit-filled church and nobody speaks in tongues. Amen. I'm tired of churches that tell me they're full gospel, spirit-filled, and yet they're too afraid to cast out a devil. Well, we'll take it out to the other room. Too nervous. In fact, you get nervous when the preacher talks about devils. Because you don't want a devil to manifest in this house. It could mean you're entertaining one. If it makes you nervous, in the name of Jesus, come out of them. We will not be nervous to manifest the presence of God in this house. I don't care if it's a demon, a healing, a sickness, whatever it is. We will manifest the presence of God. We will prepare a way for the kingdom to get into that person. Amen. We will make an atmosphere ready for God to move. I'm tired of churches that are deacon possessed. Churches where the devil has hijacked the sanctuary. It's a serious matter. You come into some churches, it's a spirit of restraint. Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Why? Why are you afraid? Because of the spirit of Python that has controlled the environment, sucked the very life of the supernatural out of it. Amen. I'm tired of that. We are going to pull down anything that comes against the supernatural. We're going to believe God for all the kingdom has to offer. Amen. We're going to stand up strong. But the first thing that has to happen is we have to have a people that will have a voice that will cry out in a wilderness, that will cry out in a dark time, that will cry out when nothing's going right, when there's no glory, but they'll stand up and they'll be birthed in the Holy Ghost. They'll stand with authority and with dominion. Bible says John came in the spirit of Elijah. That's what the Bible says in Luke 1:17. He came with the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah is the spirit that says, if God be God, who's for God and who's against him? Amen. The spirit of Elijah is the one that says, how long will you halt between two opinions? The spirit of Elijah is one that'll chop some heads off. You know why they chopped their heads off? To stop that long wagging tongue. The spirit of Elijah polarizes things. And so I want you to understand that us, let's just talk about us for a minute. We are part of the 21st century church that has become what I call a suggestive church. Amen. Where things are suggested to you that you might like to consider for your edification. We have created a gospel without requirement. We've created a gospel without sacrifice. We've created a gospel without real Holy Ghost praise. We have churches with no command, no authority. And if somebody gets up with authority, they reject it because it's coming from the pulpit. And then later when they have a demon in their own child and they can't get it out, they run to the pulpit to ask for help. Because there's no authority. We've taken away the authority. Are you guys with me? So you was amen and good till I got to that. Let me read you a tough scripture. Can you handle it? It's a tough one. When I read it, it shook me to the core. Genesis 2, verse 5. It's up in the front of the book, man. This is in the front. For the Lord God had not, N-O-T, not. It had not rained upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. In other words, God would not release the rain, revival rain, life-giving rain, until there was a man that would till. Till means to turn or to plow. The way you make the ground fertile is you turn it. You plow it. A hard heart has the ability to be fertile, but it's got to be turned. It's got to be plowed. There was still stuff in the earth, but it couldn't come out of the earth. The earth was able to do things, but it wouldn't come out. Because God wouldn't send the rain, and God wouldn't send the rain because there was nobody to plow the ground and get it ready. So God wouldn't release the heavens. What if I told you there's stuff inside you, that God has placed a treasure inside of your life, but you're not going to get it out, and God won't send the rain on your family, your finances, your health, until there's a man that can plow your world. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm just trying to help you here. It bothered me too. God will not open the heavens over my life until I will allow a man to plow my field. Even though the soil is good, Ray is good soil, I have to be turned annually to remain fertile. I'm blessed, and harvest has come. I thank God that you've embraced me. I thank God for what he's doing here. But I know that come this time next year, Ray's got to be plowed. Or I can't move forward. I can't see the fruit that God has. So I have to have people in my world that can plow me. And that's not always fun. Because I get pretty hard-headed sometimes, and the plow has to get sharpened. Amen. If you don't understand what I'm doing right now, I'm doing warfare with the dominant spirit of this area that doesn't want anybody to tell it nothing. Because we all know everything. I don't care what you know. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how powerful you are. God will not send the rain until somebody plows your field. Amen. That means I have to surrender myself to the plow. It means I need people to speak into my world just like you need people to speak into your world. Amen. Because we don't have a lot of time. We've only got a few months. I believe that there's a great opportunity, but opportunity is one thing. Being ready for opportunity is another. What happens if your broken, lost, wounded family member or friend comes into this church and we don't have an anointed atmosphere ready for them? What happens if your family that's confused and empty come and we're not ready? We haven't plowed the field. There's no rain falling. The field is there. It's able to produce, but there's nothing happening in it. How many of you have ever been part of assemblies where it's years and nothing really produces? Good people, good seed, good ground, nothing happening. I'm trying to tell you, I'm preaching strong because I don't want us to be a milquetoast generation in here. The kingdom of God is upon us. Let me say it again. The kingdom of God is upon us. First thing God's going to do is get aggressive in his grace in this house. We're going to have to be aggressive. We're going to have to reach out to people and bring them in. We're going to have to be a voice crying in the wilderness and God moving in people's lives. We cannot back up, bow down, cower down. We're going to have to be strong, and we have to storm like grace. We have to be strong like grace. We have to have a spirit of Elijah that cries out. We have to have that because the kingdom is now. Amen. Somebody say the kingdom is now. Now, I know this is foreign to a lot of you because you've been raised in a dominionless environment. But we don't have time for all this silliness we're doing in churches. We don't have time for all this name-dropping and religious activities in the house of God. We really don't. The kingdom is here. We cannot keep using all of our anointing, all of our elders' meetings, all of our meetings to try to deal with people's feelings and flavors. Well, it's too hot. It's too long. I don't like the screen. I don't like this. I don't like that. The kids are jacked up. And well, you're jacked up. Everybody's jacked up. Well, I can't come to church today because the fish are biting. You know, my favorite NFL team's playing right at time for church. You know, my cousin has a flu. I can't come. You know what John said to him? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. I want God to invade your home. I want God to invade your children's lives. I know they're not even looking for it. They don't even want it, but they can't stop the power of God's grace. I want God to penetrate right into your family, right into your neighborhood. I want God to reach in, and I know that's what you want as well. Amen. But you got to get a new spirit. You got to say, name him Grace, because he's going to prepare a way for kingdom. And so right now, the first thing we've got to do in this house is get grace operating. Grace is not opinionless. It's not weak. It's not allowing everybody to sin. It's grace is an aggressive spirit of God that says, man, we love you. We believe in you. We want to see your family make it. We want to see you make it. And what can we do? We want to press in with people. Amen. not just a hit and miss. We want to press in with people. We want to help people as much as they want to be helped. We want to be there for them. And we've got to teach our church how to praise God in the good times and in the bad times. We've got to teach our people how to stand up and be aggressive, whether they're in the front of the line or the back of the line. Am I making sense today? Grace is a warrior. Warrior. It's a spirit that says, you know what? When we see a new person come in, they might not know it, but we're all just going, oh. Wait till God wrecks their world. Ooh, Jesus, get them at the altar. Just mess them up. We had it happen just last week. I can't remember. Yeah, it was last week. I was preaching. I ministered just a moment, and I said something about Honduras. Who knew there was a young Honduran man in here? Who knew that he was going to break down and begin weeping? He couldn't get up here fast enough. God spoke to God's going to wreck people's worlds. He's going to wreck people's worlds. From the rising of the sun till it's going down, the Bible says, let the name of the Lord God be praised. Amen. It doesn't say if it's a good day or a bad day. We are a people of grace. We press forth. We believe God. We're warriors in our spirit because we know the kingdom is upon us. Does that make sense to everybody? Are you learning today? You know what I have? I have done a miracle, right? You've experienced a miracle. I'm done preaching in 15 minutes. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to stop. You're living in a miracle right now. This is grace. Grace is here. Amen. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I don't know how you got here, who invited you, who brought you. Most of us have been raised in a church culture of some kind, and for the most part, it's been pretty dominionless. We hear about miracles, we never see them. We hear about all these things, and we never experience them. There's been very little grace invading our environments. The kingdom hasn't manifested in our environments. And you're sitting there today, and I'm calling to you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. God is aggressive towards you. That's why you're here. God's not going to ease up on you. He's going to continue. He's going to press in because he wants you. He loves you. He wants your life to change. He wants to bring you into the kingdom, out of those struggles and those messes. He wants to bring you into wholeness, fullness, health, blessing. He wants to bring you into his kingdom. It's powerful. I want to make a call right now, and I want it to be very specific. You've come today, and maybe you've never asked the Lord into your heart and into your life. You've never done that. You've never said, Jesus. Now, you've gone to church maybe a bunch of times, but you've never surrendered your heart and life to him. You've never said, God, here I am. That's the initial moment where God floods into your heart, where grace invades you. You've never done that. Or perhaps you've done it once before, somewhere, but whatever's happened has happened, and it's really not alive in you right now. You need to be replowed. You need something to happen. I'm talking about folks that need a touch of salvation in their life, where God invades us and saves our soul, touches our hearts. Pastor Ray, that's me. Would you please pray for me in this altar call time? I would like God to touch my life. I want to surrender my life to him. Now listen carefully. We're going to ask you to raise your hand up as a sign of surrender to him. You're not surrendering to me or to this church. We're not asking you to become a member of this church. We're asking you to become a member of the kingdom of God. We're asking you to accept Christ as your Savior. You'd say, Pastor Ray, that's me. Would you lift your hand up high and set it back down so that I can see it? I want to pray for you today. Would there be anyone at all? Lift your hand up high so I can see it. I see this hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? The honest heart here. Anyone else? Amen. I might not be the most eloquent preacher. I'm not even trying to be. I'm not even comparing myself to anybody. I'm trying to get the context of the message across that God wants to invade. That God wants to touch you. God wants to announce to you, kingdom is here. Repent. Change the way you think. Turn around. Kingdom is here. Amen. Let me talk to those saints that have been living for God a long time. If I walk up to you today and I ask you, who is it that plows your field? How often do they plow it? Are you being constantly turned over? Are you being prepared for new harvest? Is the rain really falling on you, or is it just all make-believe? Is it falling in one area of your life, but not in other areas? Maybe you're doing well financially, but you're losing your kids. Maybe it's just the opposite. You're doing well with your family, but you're struggling financially. I don't know. I'm just saying, if the rain's not falling, there's nobody plowing. That's the way the kingdom works. That starts in the book of Genesis and flows throughout the scriptures. So you'd say, Pastor Ray, I need God to plow my heart. You're going to need a man, but you also need God. You're going to need a person that plows your field, that challenges your heart. I'm not talking about education. I'm not talking about you sit down and get an education. That's all beautiful. That's all good. Not against that. I'm talking about somebody that challenges your spirit, challenges your marriage, challenges your development, pushes on you in the uncomfortable places to break up things, not to be condescending, not to break you down, not to hurt you, but to produce health in you. It's all about a spirit of how it's done. I've been in churches that were oppressive and abusive. That's not plowing, that's abuse. I'm talking about something where God turns things over in your life in a healthy and a beautiful way that just touches your spirit and lets things come out that needed to come out. Lets things grow that needed to grow. Revelation comes, rain falls, the sun shines, light comes. And I know God's speaking to hearts in here. Let's stand all over this church. Can we do that? I'm going to ask my altar team if they'd come across the front. If you'd like to pray with them, you're welcome. If not, you could just kneel down in between them. We want to provide people to pray with you if you'd like prayer. God, help us. God, help us, Lord, as we surrender ourselves to the plow of heaven, to the Holy Spirit, to turn our worlds. You'd say, Pastor, that's what I want. I want God to challenge my world. I want God to touch my life. I want grace to involve me and pull me in. I want to have a powerful word that cries out, that touches lives. It's not about how loud you are, how aggressive that you're in demeanor. I'm talking about a spiritual thing where you're strong in your spirit and you need that. The altars are open if that's something you desire. Come and find somebody to pray with right now. We're going to worship. Joshua's going to lead us in a song. You come and find a place and just talk to somebody just for a moment and let God plow your world. Can we do that? Can we do that? The altars are open in Jesus' name.